Just before we start today, are you a teacher? Most listeners aren't, because we aim this show at students. But if you are an educator of some form, I just wanted to let you know that I'm co-authoring a special series this month on effective studying with this week's podcast guest, Peps McRae, for his famous ultra-concise, ultra-high-value Evidence Snacks email newsletter. In the three-part series we've put together, I'm sharing some of my all-time favourite tips and tricks that I've learned over the years to help embed smarter study strategies in your school, helping students study smarter, not harder, going beyond the research recommendations to figure out exactly what we need to be telling students to help them put good ideas into practice. In the email series, I'm even giving away some of my teaching resources so you can pick up some ready-to-teach lessons so you can deliver these ideas directly into your school. So you get slides, a little video, and even a workbook for your learners. Follow the link in the episode description to catch up on any emails in the series that you might have missed so far, and then sign up to Peps's Evidence Snacks email list to get the rest of the series delivered directly to your inbox. For everyone else listening, all my non-teacher friends studying hard for their exams at school, university and more, I just wanted to say, especially if your exams are coming up soon over the next few weeks, hang in there, my friends, keep going, you've got this. And now, here's today's episode.
Welcome to the Exam Study Expert Podcast, helping you ace your exams at school and university through the psychology of high performance and the science of studying smarter, not harder. It's my pleasure to introduce your host, the Cambridge-trained memory psychologist and exam success coach, William Wadsworth!
Hello and welcome to the Exam Study Expert Podcast. In today's episode, we're talking about physical and mental strength with the help of military veteran and mentor Derek Johnson, who's here to help us understand mental resilience and the interesting link between physical and mental strength. As I've got older, and hopefully a little wiser, I've become more and more taken by how the mind really is just an organ of the physical body. It's not like a completely separate thing. So it's so important to take care of our physical health as part of maintaining good mental health. And I mean mental health in the broadest sense of the phrase, i.e. not just about avoiding and managing mental illness per se, but also about maintaining great mental fitness, including being resilient to challenges, growing your sticking power and consistency, your ability to overcome overwhelm, manage stresses, anxiety, and so much more. We've been doing some episodes recently on the broad theme of staying motivated, so I thought this conversation fits really nicely with that theme. I hope you enjoy it. There's some really nice inspirational messages and some nice little practical takeaways to work on your own physical and mental strength to help you win in your studies and, frankly, life generally. I'll be back with my top four practical takeaways from this episode after this conversation with Derek. But first, let's meet Derek and dive right into today's episode.
My name is Derek Johnson. I'm a U.S. Army veteran. I was in the U.S. Army for 10 years. And before that, I grew up as that kid who was playing every sport. My dad was U.S. Army. My dad also grew up as a farmer. So he's African-American and he grew up as a farmer. So he had the work ethic. And my mother is German. Both parents instilled the discipline, instilled the focus and get stuff done, suck up your feelings and just get it done. We don't care how you feel. So that was just in my blood and it helped a lot. But with life experiences, they didn't really get the help that they needed in regards to their past because everybody has a certain level of trauma. So I noticed around the age of 11 that family was drinking a lot more and they were releasing whatever they didn't get help on yet, whether that was from childhood, teenagers, or from their past. So fitness became my outlet. So if I was very stressed as a teen, I would go into my garage and we had weights and stuff, or I would go run outside and I would just clear my mind. And when I cleared my mind, I was much calmer. And at that point, I would work on my faith. So fitness was my step into personal development. And then I noticed, and I'm like 11, 12 years old doing this. And then I noticed my mind is clear. And then I would work on my faith. I would pray, I'd visualize and all that. But because of the pain, it made me grow up and mature really fast. And so I grew up as a skinny child. I was very scared. I was timid. I had a speech disorder, just had a lot going on. I didn't know who I was. And so as a child, I lived in Germany, and then we moved to the United States. And so when Europeans move to the States or visit, we always watch the American high school movies. We're like, is it really like that in school? Is it really like that? So then moving, I realized it's just like that. So I was bullied by the bully. I was thrown in the locker room. I was thrown in the bathroom and all the stuff because I was that skinny kid. So at home, I was having madness. In school, I was getting bullied. And I just said, enough is enough. So then I got obsessed with learning about the mind and the body. And so fitness transformed my physique. So I no longer was that timid, very skinny, slender boy who couldn't protect himself. And then mentally, I felt more strong and confident. And that's what guided me to get into personal training and coaching. So because of the upbringing, I worked on myself. And then I wanted to give other people that level of confidence and health. And then along my journey, I eventually got into life coaching the older that I got and had more experience dealing with people. But that was a quick backstory on what got me into it. So I basically healed my inner child. And then I got excited with seeing how I could help others as well.
That's a beautiful and powerful personal development journey in a nutshell, if ever I heard one. I love how you talked about both the kind of the physical element and the mental element. I'm curious, was there a moment when you were growing up? You talked about how you got into both kind of working on fitness and also sort of working on your kind of mental, the mental side of things as well. Like, was there a moment that like that all began, or was it sort of a gradual process? And if it was a moment, what happened? What began this path of development?
Yeah, great question. So I loved comeback stories. So I would listen to music, I would watch movies, I would read books about comeback stories. So any person that went through trauma and they became a pro athlete, they became a singer, they were in a band, they became an artist, like whatever path they went, I just loved learning people's backstory. And then it made sense why he or she's so good at what they do, because you learn their upbringing. And you're like, no wonder they're so confident, or no wonder they went this path or released their energy through music or through art or sports, whatever their thing was. But I honestly got obsessed with comeback stories. And so because of that, I always had the perspective of, this is my comeback story. I'm getting tested right now, and one day this will be part of my comeback story. And so I just always knew, because my story related, it wasn't identical to other stories, but it related to others. Looking at the perspective, being grateful for what I do have, opposed to just saying like, God, why me? Or being stuck in a victim mentality. Yes, there was times where I was like, oh my God, what is going on? But then I just got better at controlling my emotions at that time.
That's fascinating. So the kind of physical side of the development, I think that's quite easy to visualize. You know, we can picture you kind of going out for a run or going and lifting weights. The kind of the mental development side is kind of a less intuitive one, I think, for a lot of people. So I'm just interested to kind of ask a little bit more about that. You've touched on a couple of things. You mentioned reading about kind of watching the movies, these kind of stories that really captivated you. The faith element is obviously quite a powerful part of that story for you too. If I ask the question from the perspective of, you know, if you were advising a young person kind of going through similar challenges, what would kind of be your, I guess, prescriptive advice for working on kind of the mental side of your personal development?
I would challenge them to see if they release. And what I mean by that is, do they allow themselves to release an emotion, anger, tears, whatever it is, but do they allow themselves to? Because some kids, especially teenagers, challenging them to see, what can you do to release and use that in a positive way? So my release was physical exertion with fitness, pushing past mental thresholds and pain thresholds. Because once the human body reminds themselves that they're actually stronger than they think, the brain is like, wow, we're way stronger. We have more stamina. This feels amazing. I have a natural high, and all these endorphins are running, and we see clear. So after the workout, we're like, solution, solution, solution. 1 hour ago, we're like, why me? I'm drowning in pain, trauma, anxiety, depression. So seeing how you can release and really taking control of that. And then most importantly, after you release, and once you have a level of calmness, see what you can start to plan. If you don't have the information, maybe there's a guidance counselor you can go to at the school. Maybe there's a mentor. Maybe that student plays sports and they could speak to a coach. So it all depends on what resources they have, but they will make a better decision for themselves when they first release. One could be a workout. Two could be writing. Three could be, maybe they just need to cry for 2 minutes. Even if they're not sad, they're just have all this pent up stuff. Maybe they need to punch a punching bag for 5 minutes. Like, there's various things we can do, but too many people, I see the commonality of holding things in for too long. And that leads to vices, to masking our emotions, to having pent up anger, to carrying this negative emotion into our friendships, into school, into other situations. And then like, we're just making everything worse. So releasing would definitely be my recommendation. There's various modalities, but when somebody can find their one that makes them feel the most natural high, it's always going to be something physical activity, even if they just go on a walk in nature, walk by the water, walk by a mountain, wherever they live, and then just start to get clarity. Once we move the body, the mind opens, and then they start to strategize and are more solutions focused rather than sitting in their room trying to come up with a master plan where they're still aggravated, but they haven't released yet. So then they're just annoyed trying to write and it's not working. So that stuff will work, but we first have to release energy, emotions, whatever that thing is. And then the other things that are more about mindset will work much smoother.
That's a great insight. That's a great way of putting it. You mentioned, we were chatting just before we hit record a little earlier, and you mentioned part of your experiences in your time in the US Army was going into charter schools and acting as a mentor. I wonder if you could just sort of talk about that to a little bit. Was there anything else that you particularly kind of remember from that time about, you know, what is kind of helps people with some of their challenges, particularly in a kind of a school education environment?
Looking at who they surround themselves with, and as a cliche saying goes, the five people you speak to most often, you become like the five people. But like challenging them to see what friends do they hang out with the most? What group chat are they part of? And finding commonalities and patterns of who speaks positively, who's excited about making progress, who's excited about life, who's grateful, or who's just complaining, who's gossiping, who's only sending you negative media. I just challenge them to control what they can control. People, and especially teenagers, they just have to catch themselves in what pattern they're in. Because sometimes we just learn from family.
Fantastic. Can we talk about resilience and overcoming adversity? Because this is a huge part of your story, I think. If you could speak to some of the ways that you think we can maybe develop that, I guess, mental muscle.
I always start with the physicality. I recommend that everyone, if they're able to, go on weighted walks. In the US Army, we call it ruck marches. Most military think of that. You're basically just walking with a lot of stuff in your backpack. There's a lot of heavy weight. And just go on a walk for 20 minutes. And the intent is not to lose weight. The intent is not to get the most toned legs. This is more of a mental test. It's not too heavy. It's just enough. But when they're walking and hiking, but within 10 minutes, their mind is just going to start racing in a good way. At first, it sucks. Your knees are hurting. Your back's hurting. You're like, this is different because I haven't walked with weight on my back. But once they catch a rhythm and they have the backpack pulled up to their back and shoulder and they're just in that zone, they start sweating, the mind starts to open up. So that's the reason I recommend something like that. It gets the person out of their comfort zone. Most people are capable of this, build it up. But what's going to happen is the mental aspect after the walk or during it, they're going to have so many thoughts, ideas. But what all they're doing is just pushing themselves out of their comfort zone, pushing past pain thresholds. And then they see what they're capable of. They're going to see the rest of the day, the rest of the week, or the rest of the month in a more positive and powerful light. So yes, they may have been stressed an hour before the walk, but afterwards they're open and say, you know what? I'm going to do this to take control of that. And they're way more proactive just because they put themselves into a heightened state. So somebody that can control their state. And so that's the same as swimming. So some people, they haven't swam since they were a kid or in years. So if they go swimming for 5 minutes straight in a pool or in the lake or wherever, they're going to get out, be super tired, but they're just going to start laughing like, wow, I didn't realize I needed that. So changing it up with something that simple, but moving the body to open the mind. There's a psychology quote. If the problem is in the body, the solution is in the mind. And if the problem is in the mind, the solution is in the body. So essentially, if somebody's mentally stressed, they need to move the body and work out. And then they'll feel better and then they make a better decision. And just being very direct. So definitely getting out of our comfort zone and pushing past mental barriers and physical pain thresholds. That right there is just the gateway to elevate somebody's discipline and their strength because they have proof of what they're capable of. Because if they don't push themselves, then they're always going to see stuff as stressful. It's just because they haven't tested themselves. So
it's fascinating how closely you link physical strength and mental strength. That relationship comes across so strongly.
Everybody's been on the opposite of both spectrums. They've been on the extreme side of not testing themselves for a while, and they feel totally overwhelmed and overstressed. And then on the flip side, there's been a time where he or she was exercising a lot, but mentally they're like, I feel awesome. It doesn't have to be extreme, which is why I always start with the weighted walk. What I like to say to my friends and clients is you can't think yourself to a more powerful or positive state.
We kind of talked about like using physicality to kind of change our state, talked to you about going through that process of release, you used the example of the weighted walk as maybe being a good fit for people just kind of starting out on this journey. What do we do next if we're kind of looking to take control of our situation?
One of the main things I do with clients is we create an eliminate sheet. So they just grab a pen and paper and they ask themselves the question, what is something that I could get rid of to help me make more progress? And we start with something that they eat. So what could I get rid of to help me make more progress? Or on the flip side, what could I replace with something better that'll help me make more progress? And then the next thing I like to do is eliminate whatever your cycle is on this thing. So everybody has a digital loop, I like to call it. They get bored, they get stressed, they grab their phone, they do a loop. His loop might be Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, Amazon cart. So everybody has their little loop. So eliminate things that aren't serving you with what you eat, what you digitally consume, and then be more intentional about when I open up Instagram, what am I going to do? Am I going to post and get off, or am I on a 10-minute break? Whatever they decide to do, if they can be more intentional. And then after that, the mind is open and then they can really look at it and say, I really need to eliminate this negative talk. It's all dependent on person. But when they start with the basics, they can go deeper opposed to adding to their routine and schedule or totally flipping their routine and schedule. Step one, after opening the mind and moving the body, they can create an eliminate sheet. And most people can be pretty straightforward with themselves. And that's what it is you're being transparent without judging yourself. And you're just asking yourself the question, what could I get rid of to help me make more progress? Once they start digging deep, they have clarity.
I wanted to ask about limiting beliefs, because that's, I think, a barrier that gets in the way of a lot of times we're trying to change and grow. Any advice for overcoming, you know, whatever it is, you know, whatever we're doubting, we can't do this, or, you know, we're not good at that, or, you know, whatever it is. What are some of the ways we can kind of move past those stories we tell ourselves?
Great question. So the number one way is to stop letting ourselves down, as in, do we actually do what we say we're going to do? And it sounds so straightforward and blunt, but there's so many people. So today, as we're recording this, is January 18th. Some people have been productive and they're proud of themselves. They're excited about life, their goals, their fitness, teaching, whatever they do. Then there's the other half. Oh, today's the 18th. I'm going to do it next Monday. And all holiday season, they're like, new year, new me. But they didn't break that pattern. And 18 days in the year, they've let themselves down over and over. They hit snooze 3 times. They push their workout to next week. I don't want to make these calls and emails. And they just push this stuff off, which elevates their negative self-belief or like their intrusive thoughts, negative self-talk. But then the person that just shows up, even when they don't feel like it, that little voice gets quieter and quieter. The little negative voice that's like, hey, you're not enough. You don't deserve this. Whatever variation somebody has in their head, we all have that voice. It says something. If you show up for yourself and you just make yourself proud, and the intent is, I challenge everyone to just say, when I sit down at night, if I had to watch a time-lapse video of myself, would you be proud of the man or woman that you see? We're just being honest and raw with ourselves and saying, you know what? I said I was going to do this, and we're 18 days into the year, and I still haven't made that call. I still haven't went to that appointment. Today, this changes. So once that person makes that decision and puts their foot in the dirt and says, I'm no longer saying things just to say it, I'm going to let my actions speak. And most important, we're not just trying to push this hustle culture of work 18 hours and all this stuff and sleep less and whatever. We're just saying, hey, just simply do what you said you're going to do. Today is this day of the week. You said you're going to go to the gym. You said after you teach, you're going to go run this errand. You're going to go pay that thing, whatever it is. Did you do it before you sat down for the night? If they did, their sigh of relief is a release of accomplishment at the end of the day, opposed to overwhelm. And now I stack today to tomorrow, and then they have like unfinished projects floating over their head, which leads to the negative thinking. But if somebody keeps it straightforward like that, they'll stop trying to like look for the deepest modality. They just got to tell themselves, I just need to do what I say that I'm going to do.
And don't wait till Monday.
Yeah, exactly. Stop pushing it till Monday.
Get clear on what you want to do. And then just, as you say, get in and do it. Make it happen. Derek, you've been incredibly generous with your thoughts, your wisdom. We touched on a whole bunch of things, the kind of relationship between physical and mental strength. We talked about building resilience, your social circles, how to just get in and make things happen. I just wondered if there's anything else you feel would be particularly important to and helpful to mention for our listeners in particular.
Yeah, for sure. So challenging the person to see what can you do to become the man or woman that you always needed. Not everyone had a positive father figure. Not everyone had a loving, caring mother or guardian angel, whatever they had, whoever raised them. But what can you do to become the person you needed, the man or woman, and how can you give that person to others? And it doesn't have to be career. It could be nonprofit, charity, helping animals, helping kids, whoever, starting a business, working for a company. And there's nothing wrong with any of those, but you're basically becoming that person that you always needed and providing help to others and support. So I feel like everything's full circle. Like, hey, you did go through this. Yes, it sucked. Yes, it was dark and painful. You made yourself stronger. Now you have experience and knowledge. Now you can teach others. That's what I challenge people to do. Become that person and then give that person back to others.
Incredible. Well, my compliments in fulfilling that mission in the many ways you're doing it, Derek. Thank you so much for joining us on the show today. If anyone's curious to find out more about your world and kind of pursue any of the topics you've been touching on in more detail, where should we go next?
So my website is fitwithderek.com. On there, they'll see real people with real results. So there's fitness and there's just life coaching. And they'll see videos of them telling their story of their journey, what they overcame and what accomplishments they had. And then on social media, it's Fit with Derek 2. And my intent with social media is just to plant seeds, be in people's minds. So they start like going harder towards their goals.
People often ask me, oh, what should I do in my breaks between study? You know, I'd watch a Derek video or two. I enjoy browsing that earlier. Some great clips there. Derek, thank you once again for coming on the show. It's been such fun to talk. Wishing you all the best in everything you're doing.
I really appreciate it. Thanks again for having me.
Wonderful. Well, thanks again, Derek. Some of my favorite takeaways from that episode. Number one, weighted walks for mental clarity. Understand that you need to get yourself in the right state to make effective decisions. When you're overwhelmed, uncertain, anxious, or more, Derek suggests a great first step rather than sort of diving right in and doing mental work or tackling like your to-do list or whatever. First, we need to get our overall mind and body in a better place to make effective decisions. And one great way to do that is the weighted walk. So put some weight in a backpack, go for a walk, little as 20 minutes. You don't need to be a fitness enthusiast or have any special kit. You put some books in an old knapsack or backpack and off you go. Number two, create an eliminate sheet. So one of the tools that Derek uses in his own coaching work as a life coach and mentor to young people and professionals as well, is kind of to overcome limiting beliefs and obstacles, create your eliminate sheet. This involves identifying things that can be eliminated or replaced to make progress, starting perhaps with aspects related to nutrition, digital consumption and other things that may be holding you back. In at number three, evaluate your social circles. Be intentional about surrounding yourself with positive influences. And finally, number four, consistency in keeping your commitments. Train yourself to become the sort of person that honors their commitments to yourself as well as to others. And gradually, when we can do that, we're able to build a better self-image as the sort of person that gets things done and sticks to our word. So I hope you enjoyed today's episode. Thanks, as always, for joining me. And I look forward to seeing you again soon. Wishing you every success in your studies.
Just before you go, did you know you can hire William as your very own coach and mentor to show you the stress-free way to ace your exams by studying smarter, not harder? Find out how at examstudyexpert.com/coaching.